The word today is preparation. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible Teacher Douglas Schrader. Good things do not just happen, they must be planned. God put a lot of thought into the creation of our world, and He also made very detailed plans about the coming of Jesus, the world's Savior. In the Bible, we see all those plans and how they unfolded just as God intended. It gives us confidence that God has good plans for us, too. Here with more on this encouraging topic is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Preparation.
Doing anything of value or significance takes some preparation. You don't become a famous chef by just throwing ingredients into a pan and turning on the heat. You don't become a world-class runner by going outside one day, even though you're grossly overweight and haven't worked out in years, and saying, "I'm going to run a 4-minute mile today." It takes a lot more effort, brains, determination, preparation before you can accomplish things of significance. This is one of the reasons why you need to understand that all these arguments, and it doesn't matter how much science they try to pile up in order to justify this perspective, but it really doesn't matter what arguments they use to try to claim that chemicals just got together anywhere in the universe, that they just got together and started to make life. That's ludicrous. It defies common sense and logic. It is a belief system that these things just happen spontaneously, as though there's no preparation needed, no organization, no plan needed. It just happens accidentally. Well, person who is listening to this program, let's start with the premise that preparation for life itself is made by God. It doesn't happen on its own. And the plan of our salvation also took preparation. One of the things I like watching in the Bible as I'm reading through it is how God the Father is moving things behind the scenes, making things happen. Sometimes the most impressive parts of the gospel are the parts where there are miracles that are done immediately, short notice, where Jesus heals somebody who is blind or where somebody is raised from the dead. And of course, the most spectacular one of those is Jesus, our Lord, who is raised from the dead. But there's so much else going on in order to prepare this all. And you go right to the beginning of the Gospels, like for instance, in Luke chapter 1, we see all these things that are happening that you have to pay attention to that God the Father is preparing to take place. Now, it's interesting that John the Baptist came as a forerunner for Jesus, and he had a message of repentance. Now, that's important because you don't just sit back and fold your arms and say, "Well, I'm waiting for God to arrive," as though nothing needs to be done, as though you're just perfectly fine to receive God. That's not the case. We all need to repent. We need to confess our sins before we are fit to receive God. We don't sit in our sin and our defiance and our unworthiness and think we're just going to be fine and that God's going to accept us, as though we don't have to repent of our sin. No, actually, John's call in the desert was that everyone needs to repent. In fact, he used an analogy from the Old Testament. Every valley will be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground shall become level. This is an image of the necessity of preparing the way through repentance. Isaiah said in chapter 40, "The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all humanity together will see it." And John called people to repent. The soldiers were coming to him, and he told them not to manipulate and to force people. He told them to be content with their pay. There were things that people could do to repent of their sin. And I want you to stop and consider for a moment that you're being called to Jesus Christ, but in order to be receiving him, you need to repent of your sin. You're not proper. You're not appropriate. You're not fit for Christ until you acknowledge that you're a sinner, until you realize that you're not just okay or perfect, but that you need a redeemer. So the first thing I'd like for you to do is to confess your sins and to acknowledge that you need Jesus Christ because you're a sinner. John was looking out at the landscape, so to speak, the social culture of his day, and he saw many people who were sinning and offending God, and he called them generally to repentance. And that's what good preachers of the gospel today still do. They call us to repent of our sins in preparation for Jesus. Now, it's been a long time since Christ has come to this earth, and he has left for a period of time. This is the era of the church, of the Holy Spirit, who invites you to come to be a follower of Jesus and to confess your sins, receive the forgiveness of God, and then to live in faith in Jesus Christ, and to reform our ways, to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. And during this era, we wait for the return of Christ. But it's also preparation time once again. We don't just sit and stagnate. We don't say, oh, I made a commitment to Jesus once a long time ago, and since then I'll just let my relationship with him stagnate, or I'll just forget what I learned. I'll busy myself with other things like making a lot of money or making a name for myself. No, instead, the Christian is to be growing in their closeness with the Lord Jesus. And the Lord is preparing things for the return of Christ. He's moving things, preparing things in culture, in the world. Let me give you an example of how he did this before Jesus came the first time. John the Baptist was called the forerunner, so to speak, the person who went ahead of Jesus and announced his arrival by calling for repentance. And we see how many things God the Father had lined up here. For instance, the birth of John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1 talks about his father, Zechariah, serving in the temple, and the angel appears to him and announces that he will have a son, and his name will be John. And we see how Zechariah is unsure of this. He even questions it, and then he is forced to be mute until John's birth. And once John is born, then we see that already the angel has appeared to Mary and announced that she will be with child. There was about 6 months difference in age between John the Baptist and Jesus in their births. And God was preparing all this to happen even years beforehand. John's parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, were very faithful, godly people. So John wasn't born into some unbelieving, worldly family. He was born into a faithful, godly family. Elizabeth had been barren. And many times in the Old Testament, women who were barren are given children miraculously in order to show God's faithfulness and specifically to keep the plan of salvation going that God had promised through Abraham that all the people on earth would be blessed. Well, that was eventually through the coming of Christ. But there are several times where that lineage hits a roadblock and they can't have kids, and God miraculously allows them to have children. In the same way, God allows Zechariah and Elizabeth to have a son. In fact, they had been praying about this in Luke chapter 1, and God answers their prayer with a positive, with a yes. John would be dedicated to God to serve him. And that's another way that the Lord prepared things for the coming of Jesus. You see, God doesn't just throw things together. It doesn't happen accidentally. And I want you to understand this about your life too. God has a plan, a purpose for you. You are to come to the Lord Jesus. You are to be drawn to him. And God has a specific agenda, a specific purpose for you that he has been laying out and been preparing things way before you were born. And God is dovetailing all of these details, all of these variables, bringing them into your life so that you come to the Lord Jesus and then serve him. Your life has purpose. Your life has meaning. There is a direction to it in the Lord Jesus. There are so many people that are living lives of desperation and hopelessness today because they believe the lie that life is an accident, that there's no cause, that there's no direction. Don't believe that. Life does not happen without purpose. Just as you don't go out and run a 4-minute mile without purpose and preparation. So God is working all of this for you, for your benefit. And the Lord Jesus had come all laid out, all foretold. And he came and he ran the plan. He was prepared to go to that cross in order to die for you because he is the Son of God, because he has the capacity to rise from the dead and defeat Satan, sin, and death. So please understand that your life has significance and purpose, and it can have ultimate purpose by coming to Jesus, and that you should be preparing to serve the Lord with your life. Please take this moment to dedicate yourself to the purposes and the agenda of Jesus Christ. You will find such significance, such power, such self-worth, joy, and hopefulness, knowing that your sins are forgiven, knowing that you have purpose in life. Please give your life to the Lord Jesus. Come to him and find that joy and that strength, knowing that you have purpose and meaning and that God has prepared a great future for you.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.